bring in Mitch Harper, executive producer of ESPN 960. You can find him on Twitter at Mitch_Harper. Mitch, how are you, man?
Hey, doing great, guys. Happy to be on.
Hey, quick question for you before we get into this rivalry. We had our own little heated rivalry conversation earlier in the show. It was me and Scott and Lauren and JP. And we were talking about ties in sports. Do you think that there should be a tie in any sport to just settle a game?
No, I want a winner. I mean, I think maybe we're seeing last night on the heels of BYU and Utah women's soccer. They had that tie. I don't know if that's in reference to that, but no, I don't want to see a tie. I want to see someone win or lose. I don't want any ties. I mean, I think it would make – think about this football game tonight. If we saw a tie somehow in this game, I think it would even set up even more of a firestorm where people wouldn't know how to respond, and they would just go to Twitter and Facebook, and it would just become an even bigger mess than it already is on social media. No, I want to see a winner and a loser. That's how sports should be, in my opinion.
Mitch, I love you, man. Thank you for that.
I will agree, not every sport – I would like to make this clear – not every sport should end in ties. I think it's okay for soccer, a low-scoring sport, to end in a tie. Yeah. But I do think there should be, like, I love that there are now rules in place that keep, is it the NFL from going crazy into overtime?
Yeah. All it is, it's just one overtime, and then after that's a tie.
I love that, because then you're not sitting there watching football for 6 hours. I love football.
But there needs to be a fix for that. Something that I love in college football is that if it goes past, I think, two overtimes, you have to go for two.
Yeah.
That's a good
one.
Which I like that.
I love those ways of keeping the game short, and it also keeps it exciting.
Yeah. All right, Mitch. First, why don't we go ahead and take a step back before we get to this Utah-BYU matchup and talk about that game in New Orleans that was supposed to be in Houston, but because of the Hurricane Harvey problem down there, they had to move it over to New Orleans. First, just give your thoughts. Is this and by the way, Mitch, how long have you been covering BYU?
Been covering BYU since 2006 for various outlets, but I watching BYU football since about 1994, and I have never seen. And I hate to be Mr. Reactionary guy, and I've tried to take a step back the past week, and
it's already been a week too. So
yeah, it was the worst offensive performance I've ever seen watching BYU football. I mean, it was just downright awful. Only the fifth team in the last 10 years of college football to not pass the 50-yard line. Nothing went right offensively for BYU. There was a handful of guys that looked like the speed of the game didn't faze them, particularly Micah Simon, wide receiver, but ultimately Tanner Mangum was completely rattled, and you can't blame it on rain on this game. I mean, Tanner Mangum looks like he's regressed as a quarterback, and I think that's concerning when you talk about going into this game tonight. I mean, LSU just it didn't even feel like BYU belonged on the same stratosphere as LSU. It was just completely mismatched, and they were going up against, you know, that narrative that we always hear, 18 and 19 year olds. That was really the case last week in New Orleans. I mean, LSU had 17 true freshmen playing in that game, and they just dominated BYU in every facet. Now, BYU's defense, I think, showed some resiliency and battled a little bit. I mean, they only give up 20 points going into the fourth quarter. Felt like it was 100 points, but they were still, you know, putting up a decent fight, and they had that goal line stand, but still, BYU is completely outmatched, and I think that's why you now look to tonight's game and think, you know, BYU, that the expectations around this team are very low, lower than I've seen in some time going into this rivalry game.
Mitch Harper joins us on ESPN 700. Mitch, do you buy Ty Detmer's explanation for Tanner Mangum's performance in that we had too high of expectations going in?
No, I don't. I think that's the excuse. I mean, Tanner Mangum, he set freshman records 2 years ago, threw for over 3,000 yards just months after serving an LDS mission. You can't tell me that after having a year to learn the offense, kind of see it with his own eyes, be on the sideline, kind of learn it, all the terminology, and to now put up these type of results, no, I think the expectations should be high for Tanner Mangum. I mean, he's a BYU quarterback. The history of the quarterback position at BYU is as rich of a tradition as any position maybe in college football. I mean, BYU just had excellent quarterbacks, and the fan base, they care about their quarterbacks at BYU. And so, yeah, expectations are always going to be high, And Tanner Mangum, with his performance that he had 2 years ago, yes, they were going to be through the roof. So, no, I think Tanner, you know, Ty Detmer's explanation saying that the expectations were too high, I think that's the wrong approach from Ty, to be quite honest. And I'd also would say, too, with some of Ty Detmer's comments, I don't like how they're resorting to saying it's a young football team now, because a lot of these offensive personnel that they have had last year to learn this offense, and also they had the opportunity to maybe go out on the recruiting trail and pursue maybe a junior college prospect or two. I mean, they just didn't do that. So all these issues at the wide receiver spot, running back, that could have been fixed in the running in the recruiting season had they pursued some other prospects. But you can't chalk it up to youth, because they felt these were the guys that were going to deliver great results in this offense, and you can't chalk it up now to youth, because a lot of these guys were in your program a year ago learning this new offense by Ty Detmer.
So now, Mitch, we take a look at the defense. We all know of what happened with the offense. They didn't even get past the 50-yard line in that game, and there was like 97 total yards of offense in that game for BYU. But take a look at that defense. Obviously, normally whenever you look at 27 points, you think, oh, that's it's not bad, because in college football, you're scoring a lot more points nowadays. But how do you think BYU's defense fared, because they were on the field a lot against LSU?
Yeah, I think that's the key point there, Trevor. I mean, considering how much they were on the field, 40-plus minutes, I don't care who you go up against. I mean, that's just too much time on the field. You're going to be exhausted. I mean, they had their hands on their hips going into the locker room, and they were already gassed at the half. So to still only hold them to 27 points, you know, LSU didn't get too exotic with it. They only ran about four or five different plays in that game. They kept it so simple. Matt Canada, the new offense coordinator at LSU, he really dumbed it down in the second half, because they didn't need to unleash their playbook, because they knew BYU's offense was going to do nothing, and what they were doing was effective enough, and just wanted to kill the clock and get that game over as soon as possible. But again, I think BYU's defense did show some fight. I think the defensive line was underperformed in the first half. Sione Takitaki was completely neutralized to the point where he really wasn't much of a factor at all in the game. I think Kyrus Tonga, a true freshman who was once a Utah signee, he was a real bright spot. He was the guy that had that fourth down stop in the goal line, and he's someone that, you know, people around the BYU program feel could be a future NFL player at that defensive tackle spot. And he was someone that came in fall camp, like the third week of camp, and he's already seeing significant playing time. You're going to see him play a lot tonight. But, you know, I think that this defense overall, I feel pretty confident still with where they're going, the direction they're in. Elisa Tuiaki, they got a lot of depth. I feel at certain spots, particularly at the cornerback position, they add Riley Burt from the running back group to that cornerback spot this week. So I feel still confident about the defense, and I think they're going to be prepared to take on Utah this evening in Provo.
Mitch, can the offense expect to cross the 50 in this game?
Well, I think they can. You know, I actually put out a preview today and on Athlon Sports, and you know, I was kind of torn how to predict this game, because I think that, you know, BYU's natural. I think they're going to improve. I think they're going to play better, because really you can only go up from here, right? I mean, but still, I mean, what we saw 2 weeks ago against Portland State wasn't much better. They could only muster up 20 points against an FCS team, and they didn't look efficient doing it. It wasn't like a dominating performance like LSU had a week ago, getting 27 points on BYU. It was a very lackluster performance against an FCS team. So what can we expect? I think they will get past the 50-yard line, but I'm not expecting many points from this group. I just don't think they have enough explosive playmakers at the receiver spot. And I think also, too, Tanner Mangum just needs to quit overthinking things and just kind of let it rip. You know, like that's our good friend Kyle Gunther would say. I mean, you just let that thing rip. Let it rip, man. You gotta go downfield. That's what made Tanner Mangum a folklore legend instantly at BYU, was rolling to his right and letting the thing rip. He's been thinking too much. He's making too much of a concerted effort to, I think, deliver the offense that he feels Ty Detmer wants, rather than just kind of playing loose. And I think the stresses have maybe worn on him a bit, those expectations of being this next great quarterback. It's well documented his, you know, it battles with depression and all the things there off the field. So, you know, maybe that's piled up for him. But I think he just needs to let it loose and just go try and take some shots downfield, because what they've been doing thus far just isn't working, and it's not going to work against Utah doing the same things over again.
Besides Matt Bushman, though, does this team have the playmakers to allow Mangum to let it rip?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Bo Tanner, he's a guy that he Mangum targeted him once last week against LSU, but it ended up in that interception to that true freshman LSU DB Greedy Thompson. So I think that, you know, BYU does have some pretty talented receivers, but they just haven't produced yet. Micah Simon and Bo Tanner, though, are the two guys they feel that have the speed and athleticism to get downfield. You would think Jonah Trenneman could be that guy, but, I mean, he didn't get targeted last week. He's been more of a factor in the return game, which I think is a bright spot for BYU. But Bo Tanner and Micah Simon are the two guys I look for. And kind of looking at the backfield, too, though, guys, I think that's going to be critical for BYU to establish a running game, because playmakers, that's been lacking there. Squally Canada, I don't expect him to see much time this week. Look for true freshman Ula Tolutau to get some more carries this evening. He's close to 100%. I think BYU is ready to get him out on the field, because he's the player that this staff feels is the future running back, the bell cow back, that's going to be that feature player in this pro-style offense. Because I think it's just required to have a great running back in this pro-style offense to succeed. I just think having Jamal Williams last year covered up a lot of the flaws of Ty Detmer's play calling, and it's imperative for them to have a feature back. And I think Ula Tolutau gets about 10, 12 carries. Let's see if he can have any success against Utah's talented defensive front. And it's well documented the struggles that BYU's had against Utah on the ground. So, you know, there's potential at every spot, I think, at BYU's offense, but it's got to show production, and it's tough to have that happen when you're going up against great defenses like they are in back-to-back weeks.
Hey, Mitch, as I look at this game, and I'm trying to think of ways of how BYU can get this done, and we all know, talking about the rivalry, you throw everything out the window as far as records and you know, everything on paper. But the way I just see it, just based off of the two games I've watched BYU and the one game I've watched with Utah, is that the only way I see BYU picking up a win against Utah is if Tanner Mangum can get it going and playing like he did back in 2015, and also them causing turnovers for the Utes. Is that how you see it, or is that basically all that it is for BYU to win?
Yeah, I think they got to force at least three takeaways in order to have a chance to win this one. And those three takeaways got to lead to touchdowns.
Yep.
Because last year you forced six takeaways from Utah, but you had to settle for a lot of field goal attempts. You didn't capitalize on those opportunities. That's been one thing that Utah's been great at in this rivalry during the stretch, is that when the momentum is on their side, Utah capitalizes on the opportunity, whereas BYU simply has not, or they've dug themselves too big a hole to where they're then playing some ball in the second half, and it's just too little too late. When BYU has the momentum on their side, if they do get it, they got to seize the opportunity and punch it in with a touchdown. Because if they try to trot out their field goal kicker, Red Almond, or whoever it may be, statistically they look like they've done a nice job, but I guarantee that BYU is not counting on Red Almond to kick critical field goals in this game. They were looking to get touchdowns, and this defense, I think, has got to get a score. I think it's required. I mean, that's Tuiaki's blueprint back to his days at Utah when it was Sac Lake City. I mean, get at least three takeaways and get one of those takeaways to end up in a score. I think that's kind of the mentality that they're having, and those three takeaways got to lead to touchdowns in order for BYU to have a chance to get a win. I think that's going to be critical.
Who matches up with Darren Carrington?
It's going to be Troy Warner. You know, Troy Warner, I think, has been excellent. Last week against LSU only targeted him twice on his side of the field. I think Warner is up for the challenge. I'm very excited to see what he can do. Former four-star kid, had offers from USC, Oregon, and the best programs in the Pac-12 were all over Troy Warner. I think this guy has the future to be one of the best cornerbacks in BYU history. He's got all the ability and the talent. I mean, he was a day-one starter last year as a true freshman. This guy is special, and it'll be interesting if he can lock up Carrington one-on-one. I mean, that could be huge for BYU because they have to box him. I just don't think that's going to bode well, and Utah's going to go over the middle of their tight ends or go down, stretch the field with other weapons that they have in the receiving corps. So Warner is going to be the guy that tries to lock up Carrington, but, you know, it's kind of an outsider. I look at Utah's receivers, and I've been impressed with Carrington. I mean, I think back to all the years with Utah, and I think that in the Pac-12, that's been one position to me that's been kind of lacking for Utah, and I think Carrington's the best receiver they've had. I think he's the best one they've had since Steve Savoy and Paris Warren in 2004. I think Carrington's a excellent talent. It's going to be, I think, the biggest challenge that BYU's had defending a receiver to this point of the season, might be all season as well.
I know that BYU has, well, they've played LSU, and they also have Wisconsin and Mississippi State. Some big names coming up on their schedule, but is the Utah game the most important game of the season for them, or does it just mean the most?
Yeah, no, this is the most important game. I mean, because at the end of the day, you know, there was a huge narrative on and talking points on our show on ESPN 960 leading in the offseason, you know, which game would you rather win, LSU or Utah? Well, we saw what happened with LSU, but still, if BYU was to win this weekend, all will be forgotten because it's Utah, it's the rivalry, all the hashtag seven is coming. I don't think BYU fans can handle the possibility of going to their social media accounts on Sunday and being told they're a bunch of mid-major zoobs and that seven is here. I don't think they're going to be able to handle it anymore. So I think this is critical. They have to have this one. And I think also for the whole Kalani Sitake, Ty Detmer tenure, I mean, it's critical for them. I mean, really, if Kalani Sitake loses this one, well, it's starting to feel like, you know, it would be a lot of the carryover from the Bronco Mendenhall regime. Yeah, this whole Kalani effect is not delivering these results that we're hyped about, that he's going to knock off Utah. I mean, Aaron Roderick's in the booth for BYU tonight. That's going to be an interesting dynamic. He's an unpaid consultant at BYU helping out with the offense. His eyes will be up in the box to kind of assist with Ty Detmer. So BYU's pulling out all the stops. I expect this to be kind of their Super Bowl in a way, and I think it has to be that way because if BYU wants to define success as an independent, you look back in the history of BYU football, naming one season where they consider a successful, you know, highlight season of their, you know, 80-plus years of football, you're not going to see any of those seasons consisting of a year where they lost to Utah. So if they want to have a successful year and they want to show progress in year two under Kalani, they have to beat Utah at all costs, and this is the most important game, plain and simple.
Mitch, something that I really like about you is that you don't have your BYU blue goggles on. So, with that said, who wins this game and why?
It's a great question. You know, I feel that this is going to be, I think it's going to be a defensive slugfest again. I think that in the fourth quarter, this can be a low-scoring game. I'm very intrigued to see what Utah does offensively this one, because I do think Utah's offense is going to be much better than what we've seen in years prior. And we saw probably, what, a tenth of what Troy Taylor's playbook
if that
looked like a week ago. So that's going to be interesting to me because I think they're going to pull out some stops as well. But I think BYU's defense is up for the challenge. I think that it's going to be low scoring. I think Utah ultimately scores a touchdown. You know, I think that Utah's got a lead in the fourth quarter, and BYU maybe tacks on a late touchdown to close it. I think Utah wins 16 to 10. I think that's going to be the score. I think Utah ultimately comes away with this win. I just think that BYU's offense right now, nothing I've seen thus far can tell me that BYU wins this football game. Defensively, I think BYU is up for the challenge, like I said, but offensively, there's such a big issue and question mark there that I can't really go on record and say that BYU can win that game just because of how talented Utah's defensive front is. I mean, I'm looking at their personnel. I mean, Lolo Tulele, Leki Fotu, Sunia Taltioli, and that's going to be without Lua Fatata-Sanga. I mean, and the linebacking core. So this is going to be a difficult challenge, and I think that's hard to get the offense fixed against that talented of a defense. So I say Utah 16, BYU 10.
Mitch, you're no mid-major zoob.
Not at all.
Well, agreed. You, thank you. I know Trevor thinks I am because of the Justin Bieber liking. I mean, I like me some Biebs. That whole, you know, new friends song. I mean, why can't BYU and Utah fans just be friends? Let's just get along. No more vandalizing the Cougar statues. Let's just move on. Even the statue talk is carrying over to the rivalry. I mean, come on, people. Let's just get along. Let's just be friends.
By the way, Trevor brought up the Bieber thing because I missed it because I was sick last week. And I'm with you and JP. I think Biebs has had some. I don't love him. I wouldn't ever pay to go to a concert of his. But he's had some hits and some good ones. His early stuff was way too like teeny bop for my liking. But he's had some really good.
I wouldn't
tunes.
Go to a Justin Bieber concert if someone gave me free tickets front row where you know I was right there in front of him. I wouldn't take him.
I think I might.
I wouldn't.
We talk about the time that I went to the Justin Bieber concert next.
Oh, man. Well, Mitch, it is always great catching up with you. Enjoy the game tonight. And Cougar fans, follow him on Twitter @Mitch_Harper. Mitch, thanks, man.
Hey, thanks, Mitch. Guys, as always. Take care.
All right, there you go. That's Mitch Harper, our BYU insider from ESPN 960.